Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, my next guest this morning, well, she's a household name in the United Kingdom and a familiar voice and face on UK media as she updates Downing Street and the public on the latest COVID figures and advice. She is the Deputy Director of Public Health England and she's one of the most senior medics and medical advisors in the fight there against this pandemic, and she's Irish. Good morning, Dr. Susan Hopkins.
Good morning, Miriam.
Lovely to speak to you, actually, because I saw you in Sky News the other night. I was thinking, she's Irish. I'm going to be talking to her. I felt very proud of you. First of all, Susan, before I find out where you started, tell me about your role in Public Health England.
So I'm a clinician, infectious diseases and epidemiologist in Public Health England. I've worked there for a long number of years, focusing initially on antibiotic resistance. But last January, started to work on the COVID response on January the 8th and have been working in various components of the response, developing guidelines, looking at the epidemiology, advising governments on various components of it throughout the year.
And now London is obviously your home, Susan, and I think you've been there for 18 years, but you grew up in Kildare. Tell me about that and your road into medicine.
So, yeah, my family, my parents still live in Kildare. I grew up there and went to primary and secondary school and then headed off to Trinity to do medicine. And then basically spent a long part of my life in Dublin before moving abroad to do further studies in US, France, and then ended up in London.
And you developed, didn't you, a big interest early on in infectious diseases. And you've been working in that area, I think, now for a couple of decades.
Yeah, so I started working in infectious diseases in the Guy's Clinic in St. James's Hospital with Fiona Mulcahy and Colin Bergen, who were brilliant inspirations, starting working with HIV, infectious diseases in general, sexually transmitted infections. And I think my first major outbreak that I was involved in was a big syphilis outbreak in men who have sex with men in Dublin in 2000. And at that point, I was completely hooked on the idea of incorporating clinical medicine with epidemiology and looking at how we can control these infections in the community.
You also feel passionately, don't you, about, you know, encouraging young girls and young women into working and studying in STEM areas, I suppose, to nurture their interests, as you've seen the benefits both personally and professionally.
So I think it's really important. Women give a different point of view, as in every profession. And I think that it's always important to really have nurtured that throughout. I think it starts at a really early age. My dad was brilliant at encouraging me and my love for science all the way through. He loved to spend extra time with me doing maths. But in secondary schools in Ireland at that time, we had to go to the boys' school down the road to do maths, because honours maths wasn't taught in our schools. So I think it's really important that schools give girls an opportunity to study all science subjects, and allow them then to go to university into all the sciences, not just medicine, but, you know, computer science, physics, and natural sciences as well. And I think then you can always need to keep encouraging women after that point so that they can develop their careers. And remember, life is long. So some people say, well, you know, people will leave because they'll have children. But I think children actually to how women think about the world in general. And therefore, that shouldn't be seen as a hindrance, because after you've had children, you've still got another 20 or 30 years to work.
That's so interesting, because I know you have a son yourself. And I think I remember looking at statistics in one of the universities here a few years back, Susan, and all these, you know, young women went into medicine, did degrees, and so many dropped out when they did have children because they did find it so difficult. But you're saying, if anything, it should encourage you to keep going.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, we need to leave the world in a better place for our children. I think having children makes that even more important, actually. And my view is that, you know, there is sometimes, especially when the children are particularly young, that women may need to work part-time. But as they move on, then they can, you know, increase their hours in work again and look at it in a different way. And I think it's about flexible working and being able to work and have a home life around that, that allows you to be able to continue to successfully boost the science community.
Your phone is a bit dodgy. If you're moving, don't move. Just stay in, because it started off absolutely brilliant, Susan. How did you end up in the UK and in Public Health England?
So I came to the UK for my last year of formal infectious diseases training, which was arranged through Colin Bergen in Dublin and one of my now colleagues in the Royal Free London. And it was particularly to look more at some of the emerging diseases. And I went to the Royal Free because it was a site for looking at high consequence infectious diseases such as Ebola and Lassa. And I thought that would be a really good way to find and out some more about these diseases and tropical diseases in general. And then I stayed. I loved the department. It was really energetic. At the time, there were more people working in infectious diseases in that hospital than the whole of Ireland. And so it was a really science-driven, research-driven, but also highly clinical department that looked after patients with all different types of conditions. And I had a love of doing sort of epidemiology, looking at sort of the numbers around it as well. And so started to combine my love of clinical medicine with understanding the science behind it and how diseases spread, and started working in Health Protection Agency then in 2009, where I focused on looking at hospital infections and antibiotic-resistant infections. And that's been sort of my life ever since.
So interesting. Now, at the moment here, we tend to compare ourselves a bit, well, ordinary people do, with the vaccination rollout across the water and across the border. Here it seems to be slower. I mean, where are you in the UK with vaccination at the moment? And do you think the perception of our vaccine rollout is correct, that it is much slower than you?
Well, I think that, I mean, the UK focused on a vaccine delivery strategy right from the start. It invested in the biosciences and vaccine sciences. Oxford University was funded to develop their vaccine, building on their experience in vaccine development in the past, led by another woman, of course. And that basically meant that we were in a very good place to have vaccines, particularly the AstraZeneca vaccine. It also invested in a wide range of vaccines at risk, where it basically looked at all of the potential vaccines that would come to the market over the year and looked at how it could have invested in those for the population. We've got 14.5 million people vaccinated today, so that's a really great number. All of the everyone in the over 70s age group will have been offered a vaccine by this week. And we're moving down the age group now to the clinically vulnerable and to the over 65. So I think that's really important because it will allow us to really impact on the population effect of this coronavirus, reducing those people who need admission to hospital and also reducing those that will die from this disease.
And listening to you there and reading during the week about your vaccination rollout, it does seem, you know, having the AstraZeneca and rolling it out for over 65s, over 70s has been key. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but here in Ireland, based on advice, the HSE aren't recommending it for older people. I think that's caused a big issue here. With the WHO coming out during the week as well, saying it's safe, do you think it's something maybe we should reconsider here, that maybe we should think about giving it to the over 65s?
Well, Ireland has some fantastic science advisors, and I'm sure they're advising the government very effectively. We took the decisions here based on our joint committee for vaccinations and immunizations to roll out the vaccines as fast as possible. And as people may be aware, we decided to roll out the vaccine as a single dose in the first instance to get as many people as possible vaccinated. Because the fact is that, you know, having more people vaccinated with some level of immunity will have a better effect on the population and allow us to get our lives back to normal very fast. Of course, the vaccine may have a slightly better effect on people having two vaccinations within that first four-week period. So there are trade-offs to individuals and the population. But if we had given the vaccine to two doses to people, then we would have only got half the amount of people vaccinated by now. So there are trade-offs. But that was the advice from our science advisors and vaccines, and that's where we went.
And look, your line is poor, but I'm going to stick with you because I have a few more minutes, Susan. Another thing, you led a study very recently on new data. And one of the reasons I think you're strongly recommending that people still stay at home in the UK, and the same probably for here, is that in the study you led on transmission and possible reinfection for people who previously had COVID-19, tell me about that.
Yeah, so this is a large study in healthcare workers. We've recruited almost 40,000 healthcare workers into the study who are being followed and tracked, looking at their antibody levels to COVID, and then we're doing regular PCR tests on them to see if they've got COVID up their nose, even if they don't know about it. And what we find is that, you know, having a prior infection gives you a lot of protection against a future infection, but it's not 100% protected. Similarly, the vaccine won't give you 100% protection either. And so what we have found is that it reduces your risk of reinfection by about 85%. But that means that you can still be infected and potentially transmit. And for some individuals, even get large amounts of symptoms like the first time around. So while we have such a high amount of infection in the community, we still need to pay attention, reduce our contacts, keep away from other people as much as possible, but there's nothing that's going to be 100% protective against future infections at the moment.
Final question, Susan. I see you on the news almost daily in the UK. Obviously, people are working in different ways as well, some from home. How has lockdown been for you personally, and when are you hoping to ever get back to see your parents in Kildare?
Oh, I think they'd like me to be back tomorrow. I haven't seen them since Christmas Day 2019. I don't even know what year it is anymore. I'm mainly working from home, as we all are, because I'm not doing clinical medicine. I spend a lot of time, as everyone else does these days, on Zoom calls. I go into Number 10 on occasion to have press conferences and briefings. But the vast majority of my work is done from home. And I sit in one room watching my 12-year-old in the other, who is on his own Zoom calls to school, remote working and remote studying as well. I think it's really difficult. We'd all like to get life back to normal. I can't wait to get over to see my parents, who've been, you know, religiously following the rules until there for the last 12 months. I think, you know, I really hope we'll be able to get over by the summer. I know that they would really appreciate a visit, but I think until the virus is at very low levels and until we're allowed to travel safely, then we just have to keep going as we are.
Well, look, it was lovely to talk to you, Susan Hopkins, and congrats on all your success. Thanks so much for joining us.